The topic for the forum tonight is Equal Rights Amendment, pro and con. We've sort of decided before the debate to go with the cons first. We'll not limit it. If someone says a pro, we won't just, you know, try and forget that. If we could get the negatives first, the things that come to your mind, either that you yourself believe strongly or have heard or whatever, wherever they come. So maybe we start with that. Ask you, those who just come in, it's written on the board. I don't think we need to put it into the record. I wouldn't see any need for that. I would guess one could find it. Okay.
I've heard a con. It's really not a con for the issue, but it's got its place, I guess, in the argument that the ERA has had its chance to be ratified. And since it didn't last, we had a certain number of years, I can't recall how many, since it didn't make it, that it shouldn't be an issue any longer. And I've had a lot of people say, I hope it's okay to be for the ERA, but it's had its time, its chance. I don't know how people feel about that.
Let's go ahead and make that a possibility. In the last night, we just listed them up and didn't do the debating or the talking. I think that if someone feels they'd like to respond to that at this time, go ahead, and we'll just keep going like that. The con was, some are coming a little bit later, we're dealing with the ERA and pros and cons, and we're starting with the cons, if we can, things that we find are negative about the ERA. And the first one was that it had its time, and it didn't make it, and it's not right that we elongate that time. Either other cons or response to that one.
Well, the women's right to vote first appeared in 1867 and almost every Congress thereafter, so the same thing might have been said for the right to vote. And some of the charters for the United States Olympic Committee was the same thing, in which it did not reach its deadline for the time, and that the extension is an extension of an understanding that has developed within the society in terms of the need for. But the extension was a demonstration of an uncertainty, and to assure whether the uncertainty was an uncertainty was the extension factor. And to ask for it to die is the same as to ask for anything that may be good or may not be to die, and not to rebring up any questions within our society, regardless of whether it is a good or a bad or not a good kind of.
Maybe you should just give the data around the proposed. As of March 22, 1972, ratified in mid-79 by 35 states, and it requires 38 states. Since then, 5 states have rescinded. The new deadline is June 30th, 1982. We're attempting to gather some of the things that we call cons, reasons why the ERA amendment should not be ratified. You do not need to be stating them as your own. They could be things you've heard, read, or the scuttlebutt around. Yes?
Well, a con that I see that is not inherent in the ERA, but that is working against it, is that I think a lot of people confuse it with issues that don't have anything to do with it. People think it has to do with abortion, or the same with the bathrooms. That I don't see have anything to do with the ERA, except that they read things into it that I don't think are legitimate, rational reasons not to ratify it. Okay. I think they're different issues.
That might pacify as a con, I'm not sure. Yeah, but at least it one of the things that's against the ERA itself is that it is open to all kinds of other freight that isn't legitimate packed on it.
Anyone mention the fact that the state of Washington has enacted its own equal rights law and has ratified the constitutional amendment?
For your state?
Yeah.
Would that that might say that there's a need then for a federal one, is that?
No.
It shows that it doesn't change everything.
Right.
It could be used as that, I suppose. Yeah.
What are some reasons for not being for the ERA?
I've heard one that I didn't understand. A man will say, I've heard men, even my own brother says, I'm for the ERA, but I'm not so sure about all the other parts of it, the unwritten and all those other. It's as though, and it's similar to what Reagan says, he's not for, in a sense, he's not for ERA, but he goes on to allude to something that no one ever says out loud. Why he's not for it, or whatever. It's just a real confusing thing to me.
So one of the cons might be that people are afraid of it, because when it gets into the courts, they're afraid what it really might mean. So that a lot of stuff that we don't know about will get thrown at us. Maybe what the brother's saying.
They're really talking about the socialization process may change, which would in fact lead towards an attitude of equality. And that's the most frightening thing of all. That it leaves no room for the socialization process to permit the stereotyping and the inequality to continue. So they're willing, perhaps, for equal pay, but everything else ought not to be interfered with. And they begin with the whole territorialism and the whole concept of differences that ought to be a part of our society, and that all of these differences will be merged and we won't have a superior being. And it works.
Assuming there may be some truth to that, why don't we open it up to positive and negative? Because maybe the way to get the negative is to get out some of the reasons why being for it.
Do we have any people here from states that are not community property states? No one?
North Dakota.
Under your laws, does the wife have any rights whatsoever in the property acquired during marriage? In other words, if the husband dies and there is no will, who gets the property?
The wife gets the house.
The attorney gets most of it.
What I'm trying to point out, in this state we have what is called community property state. The whole thing belongs to the husband and the wife if acquired during marriage, equally. And for a long time, that the income during marriage could be divided equally and separate returns filed to a great income tax advantage. But finally, Congress got tired of having only 12 states with this advantage, and they ruled that everybody had to file joint returns or pay a penalty in taxation. So that one advantage of the community property state was eliminated. But estate-wise, the wife and the husband are equal and share equally in the whole piece of property, unless they have a will beforehand stating exactly what they both want to do with the property. Okay.
Can we begin to gather some of the reasons why you're for ERA, if there's silence kind of around reasons why you are not for ERA?
Under English common law, which most of the states in the country have, the husband is the sole manager of the property, and he can own, only he can bequest or devise the property. And the wife has no rights whatsoever unless he gives them to her.
Well, that's awful, in my estimation.
That'd be a reason for ERA.
Right.
You bet.
Is there anyone here from Ohio? I don't know if this is still true, but when I was working in Ohio about 10 years ago as a medical social worker in a hospital there, at that time, we had this come up quite often. If a husband would come in of some kind of farming accident or whatever and die, his widow would end up selling the farm because of the taxes. But if she came in and died of a heart attack because of her working on the farm, he didn't pay anything. And this was a terrific problem social problem, and there was nothing you could do about it. And I think that was one of the reasons I started to think about what does equal rights mean in that kind of a situation. And my sensitivity was really raised in working with people and trying to help them sure. with this kind of a problem.
I know this is still true in South Dakota.
It is.
The wife that just has no rights whatsoever. I had a brother-in-law that died, and somehow or another, even land that my sister had bought went in as his property, and she had nothing.
The only thing she had to have any rights to was something that she brought herself into the marriage or inherited from her side of the family.
This was something that she had bought.
Yeah, well, that's different, huh?
Okay. And the only thing that said was she had 11 children, and they all had to relinquish and get the right to the property.
Wow.
But in the meantime, the property was, a high percentage of the property had been sold by her husband, and she had nothing. She couldn't write a check, she couldn't do anything.
No.
Yes.
Well, I'm from Illinois, and the same is true if you have a car, if you own a car, and if it's in your, just your husband's name, the wife has no right to, she cannot drive the car after he died, because it's not in her name, it is not her property. Most people are unaware of this, that you're driving that car without a license to it. And that's just one of the things, you know, credit cards is another, that's just come in recently, that you can get a credit card on your own. Mm-hmm. It always was under your husband's name. I mean, they don't even consider you head of the household.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was under federal law. Long as state law governed, you couldn't.
Okay. I'm just wondering if we're talking mainly here about relationships between husbands and wives. Will any of this be affected if the ERA is passed? Mm-hmm. And can all of this be taken care of without the passing of the ERA? And we're talking about credit cards. I have a will I've just gone through with an estate planner, so I know some of the how that operates in terms of how you get around that stuff. I live in Washington.
If each and every state would change its laws or its constitution to give these equal rights, yes, you could change it.
I mean, do I have to, I mean,
not in
you
Washington.
Have to have a state law to get a credit card for a wife?
You
that's
did.
Your issue, and the issue over here was, I mean, we're seemingly only talking about relationships between husbands and wives, and I think the ERA goes much, much further
sure,
than that.
Yeah.
And can we, can those kinds of things, can these kinds of things be taken care of without the passing of the ERA? Otherwise, this is a side issue.
I would guess they could be. I think the point being made was that one of the beauties of ERA, if it were to be passed, it would take care of those issues.
Then all women in the country would have equal rights.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've got to get the legislatures of every state to pass equivalent changes.
And that's not easy.
The biggest advantage of the ERA is that at this very moment, the women in this country, two-thirds of whom work, make 59 cents on the dollar to the man. And two-thirds of the head of households who are women make less than $10,000, regardless of their professional competency. In 1955, it was 63 cents on the dollar. So that in the process of what has happened in the socialization, women have lost ground on their earning power rather than increased it, and there's been an increase to 38% of the head of households being women. So, including the single, the widowed, or whatever. Consequently, their needs are greater and their income is less. And it has to do with pure and simple discrimination, which would be alleviated by force by the ERA, or at least it would be helped, particularly in those states that are the most anti-women.
Which states are those?
I'm wondering if some
all the ones who have not passed the ERA, as a matter of fact, 13 states are probably those that have the lowest. Arizona is an example.
Arizona's anti-women?
No, anti-women in the paid world, yeah. Actually, in several other of their laws.
I was wondering if somebody could would feel capable of giving a Shankly approach to what this is. If we can't have a real statement, is there somebody? My prejudice wouldn't allow me even to help with that. But is there somebody here that could give that approach in a fair way to so that we would have an idea of what she is using or what that group is using, feeling that it's a denigration of women to have such, because women have such wonderful advantages. And that's about all I could say about it, but I was wondering if there was somebody that could do that position.
Well, I've heard her speak. I'm sure all the women here have. We each could probably say something. One thing is, she says, it seems to have something to do with the sanctity of the family. I'm not quite sure how. That I can't explain. One thing, though, I am talking to a woman along the street. She wanted me to sign some kind of a petition. She said that women, and this there may be a bit of truth to this, that in some areas, the women have had to do more difficult jobs. And I believe it was Oregon. And they apparently have passed some state laws such as we have. And there, in certain industries, or in certain jobs where women are working in factories or that type of work, heavy work, they've said, okay, you know, this, where before they had special privileges, that they would lose those. And this is a big, one of their big arguments. So I could be Phyllis Schlafly.
I was up on the hill today and saw two young men and two young women tearing the building down and pulling the nails out and loading the material on the truck. I imagine she would be very shocked.
Yeah, probably like
the sanctity of the family is a primary issue based on that it will force, some way, it will force women out of the home and away from family living if there must be equality. And that it will treat the female so that she becomes as a male, and the male no longer has an image that would help. But primarily it's the family concept of what will happen to the children if the ERA is passed in a lot of Phyllis's argument, and that you are taking away her right to stay in the home.
Of course.
Well, yeah, but that's one of, and that it just encourages women to leave the home.
If they're going to make more money.
And we all know that the women who are working are just doing it to fulfill themselves. It isn't that they need the money anyway.
You tried to buy a home lately?
She's being sarcastic.
So was I.
Yeah, I got home.
Well, isn't there a federal law against discrimination?
Yes.
Well,
there is the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which is equal protection of the law. Mm-hmm. But the equal protection of the law was in fact developed and prevented to use the word sex. It has, however, been used in individual instances. But it also has rational justification for sex classification as part of the 14th Amendment, which therefore does not have the equal power that a new amendment to the Constitution would absolutely make clear, and there would be no problems in the court of what was meant. In the 14th Amendment, even the Supreme Court, when it gets in difficulty about the male-female issues, then they begin to revolve around the whole question of the 14th Amendment, as they did in the racial question until the 1954 Brown versus the Board of Education. And when it was absolutely clear, then it became absolutely clear what would happen. We can't change the socialization process, but it's the beginning of changing the socialization process by passing the ERA, which says, as a role model for all of our American society to see, this is what we do, in fact, believe. We are not skirting it through through 1867 amendment. We believe in it now. So it has tremendous implication for attitude changes and development, which in and of itself may be a reason for it.
Whether you're, the women are interested in the money part of it or not, there are a lot of jobs and offices today where women are doing a fabulous job and are not getting the pay level that the men are getting. You know, maybe a better job in many cases. And I think this is very, very unfair.
Well, it's like she said, the disparity between them has actually increased.
I didn't know that. That's really
we're very aware of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we certainly have federal apparatus to try to deal with employment. You know, we've got Title VII that should deal with it, but it has to deal with it in so many different sorts of ways. And Oregon is the first real discrimination case which doesn't have to be exact. For example, in my field of coaching, they've used all kinds of ways of keeping the football coach $20,000 or basketball coach and the women $5,000 based on not exactness. And the ERA would just be a help in that area. Nursing is another area because it's all women. It is the most underpaid of all professions. If you take away all the nurses in the world, think what the doctors would do.
Not to go to work.
By the way, medical profession is one of those that we are less than we were at the beginning of the Second World War.
Yep.
Right. Proportion to the population and numbers of doctors.
Well, I'm saying this because Deb is on, in our family, we both work. And she is on the management side, and I am on the labor side in our home. And it's and she's going to college, she's going to different schools to better herself, to bring herself up. And her pay level, although it's sufficient, is still far lower than what a man, if you were to go out and hire a man to do the same job she's doing, he would get far, far more in wages.
Well, this is realized by my management too, but it's been such a vast disparity that they can't. We're trying to bring everybody, not just myself, everybody down to it. You know, but it just don't do this overnight. And this is something I think that we women have to understand. We cannot do this overnight. But you have to have people concerned enough that they want to.
What would that say to the ERA? Awareness on your part that perhaps to change it overnight is impossible. Does that mean you end up being for or against ERA?
Well, I'm so programmed for it. I have to be because of the discrimination and the sexism that I have to be for it. However, I'm not blind, and I can see it's facets too. The one thing that worries people in my particular profession is that with our own Washington laws, already we are facing a lot of lawsuits. Because we have these women that are going to, you know, take advantage of the law. And you have a lot of unnecessary lawsuits because of it. I've got I have one in my own particular plant, and I can think of some in the city of Vancouver, where one lady was dating a management person, and they broke up, and it wasn't even anything that took place in the office, but now she is suing for sexual harassment, this type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very real thing.
That's just something that those oddball things don't happen all the time. They really don't. They have it to do with an individual who's trying to take advantage of the situation.
But when
and that really doesn't have anything to do with that. I think it's just some person who is
it doesn't mean we're not for.
No, I realize that, yeah. But she's taking advantage of the situation just like men do and women do. And
but we women
always done.
Aren't helping situation.
Of course
not. Act like that. Let's
of course not.
What are some more reasons for or against ERA?
What are the implications that anyone might see in custody issues of children, for children?
There will be many more men having custody of children.
That's already a benefit, I would guess, just the issue
why
being
it
raised.
A
yeah. Sure. Yes, well, yes, in many cases that would be good.
Mm-hmm. More of them that are equipped.
which then would equalize the whole process of male sensitivity, freedoms that they, as a matter of fact, all the heart attacks have to do with the ERA, in the sense that it is the male that is put into the most rigid position. Actually, in looking at the socialization process, the women really have, as children and so on, more freedom than the male does. And this really would offer more freedom rather than less freedom for the male, too. And there are an awful lot of fathers that ought to have the kids when you look at the mothers.
Yes.
And it would give more opportunity to balance out who ought to have the children. Alimony, by the way, is another thing that will be a part of the whole issue. And you, more women will have to deal with that, particularly in affluent American society. And therefore, it could be a negative to the
child support also.
Yeah, the whole child support, who's making the money. Right now, it'd be all right, 59 to 100.
How about the military service?
Yeah, that's another issue.
Is there clarity on that for sure? Right now that they have ruled that it is only for males, right, in terms of draft?
Yeah.
Would this passage automatically change that, or is that an unknown? Robert?
An interesting comment I would make in that respect was the pastor in our church debated the head of the moral majority of the Seattle area on television. And one of the things they got into was the ERA. And one of the things he said was, the head of the moral majority said, "I would think it's just atrocious. Can you imagine how awful it would be for your sisters or mothers or daughters to be drafted and have to fight in a war?" And our pastor's response was, "Do you realize how horrible it is that my sons and my father and my brothers have to be drafted into the war?" And I think that puts the whole ERA right into perspective. For me, is it's only finally coming to say what should have been there all along, that we're all people. And if you're going to say you're going to treat one sex one way because the women, oh my God, they can't go out there and kill anybody, perhaps we need to reflect more that, oh my God, we're all people. What are we doing out there killing each other?
Okay, so it seems that the man was already saying that there's something about the male that killing fits more with males than females,
yeah,
huh?
That's totally untrue. I think the IRA, in a way, I mean, that's what it should be there for, to say, wait a minute. Why are
they didn't talk about the orphanage issue after the war, at least.
Yeah.
Other?
Israel and Russia already drafted the women.
But not the front line, do you?
I think Phyllis Schlafly also talks about sexual harassment by having women equally in the services. These are not my feelings, but we were looking
for Phyllis Schlafly's argument.
And I think this is one of her arguments, that she feels that women will be in an unfair position or in a vulnerable position for much more sexual harassment if they're on board ship or if they're on lines or they're fighting with men. So that seems to be a particular issue of courage.
But then on the other hand, she says that it's the women who cause the sexual harassment. So
right. A good woman wouldn't, that would happen.
That's
right.
Because you have permitted it to happen. If I were a man. But I think the military is an important question because it is going to affect the ERAs, when there's only perhaps 12 men that are making the decisions in the balance for whether the ERA will or will not become the law of the land. And one of the things they're using is the whole question of military and women in the military. And it's an emotional kind of question that has to be dealt with, and it fits, therefore, on that it's against the ERA. And in spite of the fact that it doesn't help in the concept of what its purpose really is.
Said that the Swiss law has already been established that only men will be drafted. This doesn't mean this has to be that way or anything, but I think that follows more or less what our Supreme Court has indicated at the present time, but I think they will have to reconsider it. And I appreciate the discussion, but then I just mean that that's what the Swiss have done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that will be decided by the Congress, because they have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of the article. So whether or not women would actually be subject to the draft would depend upon Congress operating under the authority granted by this amendment.
Yeah, Robert?
But then it'll be turned around, won't it, when the first male like myself goes, hey, why should I have to go? What about these nice women over here? If I'm going, they're going. So I'll take them to court.
Is that a reason for ERA for you?
No. No, I mean, I think that whole issue there, you've got, the point that I made is where I'm coming from, and I think when you talk about only men fighting or only women fighting or both men and women fighting, I think you, for me personally, you beg the question. The question is, why are any of us out there killing? So, but my response at that point, you know, now you know where I stand, then my response would be at that point, then that's the ERA, then it gives a chance for any male to stand up. And they can bring the lawsuit for once instead of the women demanding equal rights. It would be a man to stand up and demand equal rights.
Can we just...
Where do you stand on the biblical position here? That the man is the head of the house.
That's a debatable issue in a biblical position. Now, I think that we have to take a very close look at what is the biblical position. You know, if you're Jerry Falwell, that's one position. If you're someone else, that's another position. So it's a tough issue to deal with. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about that, but when you say the biblical position, you're assuming there's one position. There is a correct position.
Joe, were you going to speak to that? Or?
No, I wanted to go back to something else.
Why don't you? I think we probably have consensus that there's going to be lots of debate on what is the faith response to that, and to say that there's one biblical one, I think maybe we can all agree that there isn't one. And then we can have various. But Joe?
I just wondered if Joanne could give me some more clarification on this business of the extension of the time in which the ERA could or couldn't be passed, and whether or not there has been that kind of extension granted in other situations. I didn't quite catch what you said.
Oh, what I said was that anything can go back to Congress any time. For example, Title IX has been passed. With that by July 1st, 1978, they must have fulfilled it. They went back to Congress on two little sections of it saying it can't be done in that length of time, for compliance even.
But and has there been another proposed amendment?
But no proposed amendment to the Constitution that has been extended, but federal legislation that has been extended.
Point in asking that is, I think if I had to vote today, I would vote for ERA. What I don't like, though, is that special extension. What I don't like is the fact that amendment, for whatever reasons, is given a different kind of treatment than any other constitutional amendment. It seems to me if we have a system and a constitution and if we have a way of doing things, that way of doing things should be done equally also. And I have trouble with that. I have trouble with the extension of the amendment.
Anybody in political science could really deal with that better, because there are illustrations of extensions that have been granted in a lot of areas, one of which was even that 14th Amendment, but I don't know the details enough to say for sure that had happened in that particular situation, or why this one was the rationale for the extension of it, either. But it would seem to me that because it had never been done in the past, might not be a good reason for not voting.
Well, my lack of knowledge is showing here, but I guess I understood that there was a certain time limit in which a constitutional amendment, when it's proposed, has time to be ratified.
Yeah.
And that is, in fact, in the Constitution.
Right. No.
Or
no.
In the
Bill of Rights?
No, it's in the Constitution.
In the act that Congress passes,
okay.
At the time it passes it.
Okay.
And they could extend it again if they wanted to.
Okay, but it has not been done before.
You mean there's no standard time for
No, that's correct.
No.
I thought
she spoke of the 14th Amendment and its special handling. 14th Amendment, as you'll recall, was passed just at the end of the Civil War, when the southern states, the Confederate states, were not allowed to take part in the ratification because of their handling of the slavery issue. So it was ratified by the states that remained loyal to the Union only, and it only required the two-thirds majority of the former, the Union states, the states that remained loyal. If the southern states had been allowed to vote, it would never have passed. Congress knew this, so they limited the states that could vote on it.
The Congress can limit amendments as they see fit.
Right.
The 15th and 16th had the same type of problem.
Right. 16th income tax?
No, the 15th.
15th, right.
One was the same. Because the women gave up their rights for that in order to be sure that the blacks would have the rights.
Right.
What's that? I'm what do you mean by saying that?
They gave up the women, the majority of the signed petitions for the 14th and the 15th Amendment were women. And in the original draft was sex. Uh-huh. And the outcry from the states and from the congressmen was that this cannot get ratified if we throw in the issue of women and citizenry and right to vote. So the women withdrew that in order that they would pass the 14th Amendment without sex. And that's why that issue of sex is pretty difficult for, and was for the Supreme Court when they began dealing with it, because sex was purposefully, not by chance, out of the 14th and then the 15th Amendment.
What do you mean the women with, I don't understand that, the women withdrew? Yeah.
The women who had been a part
women's
of
groups.
The women's groups, like a women's rights groups, the Susie Anthony variety groups, were the ones who were attempting to get the citizenry for the blacks at the time of the 14th and the 15th Amendment. They were asked to withdraw the part of the draft that dealt with women's rights or sex as a part of the total package for citizenry and rights to vote and so on. And so the women's groups withdrew that and sent their support for the amendment, really, to the Constitution. And the initial petitions were signed more than 60% by women, as opposed to by men, for that amendment.
In other words, this amendment, if you substitute for sex, the word race,
yeah, I understood. I understood that. What I wasn't clear about is when you made the statement, the women withdrew, and I didn't know what you meant by the women.
The women's groups who had supported the whole 14th and 15th Amendment, and they were very strong at that time, and that's the group that's going to turn them into the women's temperance group and into the various groups until the right to vote.
I'm still not clear that we've said very much about the loss for males and females if ERA goes through. Have we gotten to the point where we can think of some more, even if we have to not say our own views, but what we hear men saying, or men at the office, or at the construction site, or wherever we are, can we not come up with something? What is a loss when it sounds so logical that it means that we're going to be treating each other as human beings of equal way?
Well, in many states, they will lose control. The men will lose control of the family finances and property.
And
And you're saying that most men in their homes really don't want their wives to have power over the estate?
Apparently not.
Apparently in those states, they
don't. Seems strange to me. Yeah.
What kind of an issue will be made if the ERA is passed as far as the right to be discriminatory? In other words, I'm more of an employer. There are certain situations where I want a man, or let's say, as an employer, to do a particular job,
or I can tell in a certain situation all sorts of strife will be created if a woman of equal ability goes in there, because of the nature of the people who are already there. Will I have to submit, or would an employer have to submit to some sort of organization for a study on every job that he wants to put out for hire or advertise, or what will this change things in that nature?
Well, how would you advertise that job today?
Well, say say you had a, well, let's use a, the basis of a construction crew or a logging crew. Say you had a group of 10 men or 15 men and you needed a crew chief, or you needed somebody that, that was really going to do a lot of hard physical labor. Now, I come from a family where there are some women that have outworked the men to a certain extent, you know, a good, hard-working Midwestern farm wife is a mighty tough lady. Back there, by the way, more farms have been managed and bought and sold by women in the family back there than men. But it would really be frustrating to want to put an ad saying that you're looking for an experienced man in this type of position, and then have it be challenged by a woman and be, have it tied up in court for 9 months. You know, it's just...
Because we're getting close to the end, could I just capsulize that as saying that one of the things that probably is scuttlebutt is, well, here comes another area where the government's going to come and check whether I've done this or not, and I got to go through all that kind of process. I'd like to be able to do the job the way I want to do it.
Yeah, it's not that the employer has anything against women, and you know,
well,
but it's just in a certain situation.
Well, in Washington, we can't do that now. That's a BFOQ, Bonafide Occupational Qualification, and that's a no-no. But you get very used to that, and our managers, they scoff when we use person, and when they're used to say foreman, it's for person. But you get used to it, you just.
Well, would a woman apply for a job as a
they can say she already qualifies.
Well, she's qualified, but there may be problems with the other 10.
Yeah, that,
there
that's
may
the
be,
sort of thing.
There absolutely.
Yeah.
Must be.
This is all hypothetical,
yeah,
but,
right.
But what I'm saying is one loses the ability to discriminate.
Yeah.
Now,
instead of arguing that one to the legitimacy of it, I think it becomes one of the things that is used or said to keep, quote, government off our back. And to a certain extent, we'd have to say that part of that is just plain wanting the power and the ability to hire who you want to hire. So it's not that it's a good thing. We're just saying that's the stuff that's said. Are there other things that's said by males that we hear? Or females?
Actually, it's women. I think they're really stopping me.
What are they afraid of?
I don't know. There has been so much misinformation and exaggeration that has been put out by some people like Mrs. Schlafly.
I don't know. I think there are some arguments that the women bring up that are out of the culture that they really believe. I have dealt with very few women that have been beat up by their husband who haven't explained to me that it was their own fault and it wasn't his fault. And I've also had women most of the time explain to me that he had a perfect right to beat me up.
She's crazy.
Now, I shudder for that, but
I
have to say.
I know you do. Well, we just helped a woman, a bad woman, the other day, she certainly didn't say that.
No, the point he's making is that it seems that our culture has created many of us to be against ERA. In other words, ERA is counterculture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's another point that women are always bringing up. They're so guilty when they get a 40-hour job. You know, they have a regular full-time job. And when they come home, their house has to be as clean as if they were home all day. And the husband still gets to come home and read his paper. And women, they actually have a real guilt feeling if their house looks messy. And that has to be something that the woman has got part of her consciousness she can't lose, you know.
Okay, so part of it is the change for females themselves, and change often cause one to be kind of scared and be against instead of even face the whole thing. Could be.
I don't think she wants to lose that responsibility for the home.
Okay.
Well, but that has nothing to do with the ERA.
Not necessarily logic,
yeah,
now we're talking.
The restroom facility argument is given too. Instead of being two, there'll be only one.
Who would be voting against that? Anyway, in the back, there were a couple.
Last Saturday, Dan Novak did a session in here, and I had just gotten here, and I was really tired, but I really overreacted, because we got talking about, one of the women was said, when we were talking about sharing, you know, one of the women said, well, I think we have to really be careful about expecting men to come home after a, you know, if they have a 40-hour week job, and then be really careful about the way we present to them the fact that they're going to have to help do the housework and help take care of the children and all that kind of stuff. And I said, why are we going to have to be careful? I'm tired of being careful, you know, explaining this. And she said something about treating them like you would a friend. And I said, if I had a friend and I felt that I was doing more than I would hope that I could say to that friend, look, you know, this has got to be shared. And one of the other women said, well, they're human too. And I said, but so are we. And that seems to be the point that's been missed. The men are human beings, and we're just
slaves.
Yeah.
No, we're protecting them. We're protecting them.
What are we protecting? What are you protecting men from?
These men are just little boys. We don't want them.
I think sometimes that's denigrating to men.
Yeah. My personal experience is not. My husband challenges me with giving up the control, and I was not aware that I had control in working in meals, making meals. And finally, when I said I can't do it all, and we chose to divide it up, his challenge to me was, if I am going to cook 50% of the meals that I prepare will be acceptable as they are, and not my food. There has to be a vegetable and a fruit and an et cetera. It has to be the way that I would do it. Or if he's going to clean the house, I'm going to go back and undermine what he has done by dusting over what he has done or doing something else. And I really had to sit and look at that. Was control to me. I was unaware of that, but it was control. And I was asking for help, but I wanted to still have it meet all my criteria.
Yeah.
And until I was willing to give that up and truly share that responsibility, his effort was equal to my effort. I did not have to improve or correct or whatever. That's when it began to be real sharing. And that was a twofold thing, his coming forward and my giving up control. And that was difficult for me to see, that I do have control. And I think ERA can probably challenge some of those very things, that it's a gut level feeling that maybe we have some controls. That we, controls in being special. Our society has done that, socialized us that way, but I think we have some things, and it's scary because it's unknown what it is we're going to be giving up.
Could I get some clarification, just, and not necessarily everybody vote, but I'm kind of hearing that there seems to be very, very little argument that there already is equality between male and female. Instead, there seems to be male and females who are crying for that, voting for it, are for ERA. On the other hand, we have people, males, who are saying they do not care to share and want to keep it unequal, and females who are saying, for various reasons, they'd like to keep it unequal. Is that clear, at least from what I've been hearing? Okay.
It's the fear of the change, I think.
Right, but there's some people who are saying we don't want it to be equal.
Could I say something about it? Because I think that we men have to consider this quite strongly. I'm not sure that we want it to change as much as we're culturally fitted to this thing too. And it's quite a privilege. And I'm not sure that we want to have it to change.
Okay. Bob?
Along the same lines, isn't it true too? I hesitate to say this because I really set myself up to get nailed. I wonder.
How do you look on wood?
A backlash. I mean, there isn't some kind of feeling too that at least if nothing else, we're not equal. It's out there in the work world. We don't get paid the same. At least the home may be my husband's castle, but damn, I keep it clean. And that's my last refuge, and I'm the homemaker, and I keep everything rolling around here. Even if I do work 40 hours a week along with him, I'm the one that keeps it going, and I'm not sure I want to give that up. I think along those lines, the reason I say that is one of the things that I objected to most strongly on the women's rights issues, not the issue, but the way that the women's rights groups came out was they took away, they seemed to take away from women at first, and I don't think they do now, that they didn't allow a woman to say, wait a minute, I like being at home. I like keeping the house clean. I like raising my children. I like being there when my husband comes home. They seem to take that away from women and say, that isn't a choice you can have anymore. Okay. You have to want to go out there and be equal in everything.
Okay.
And that's, now, that's what I wonder, whether there aren't, you know, some kind of that as far as against ERA, that they want, some women still want to maintain that.
Could
it? Don't feel under ERA, they can.
Okay.
I think there is a real pressure from women that if you don't work other than, say, be a housewife and a mother in quotes and a wife,
that's not work.
You don't work. You know, like people say to you, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a housewife.
Just a housewife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just a housewife. You know, and I've been reading some articles on this, you know, and I myself have never experienced that because, just because maybe the women I know, most of them aren't working full-time because they have young children. But I hear other people that are mere acquaintances or I read articles. And this is really becoming a major thing now. You know, the emphasis is to get out of the home, intellectualize yourself, and become a woman of the world and find out what's really going on outside of your little home. And I think this might be one of the reasons why, you know, there are women that are not...
Okay, so put down for those who would like the life of being at home, other causing all kinds of insecurity of people who feel now they're supposed to go out where they don't have any kind of expertise and they're scared to death, ERA becomes a threat. We only have a few minutes left, and I'm sorry I've waited so long, but it's taken a long time, it seems to me, to get stuff on the table. Could we ask, what are the faith issues, faith resources, any of that kind of stuff for just a few minutes? And if not, you won't talk about that, and you'll go back to where you were. But if there are some of you think along those lines or would like to think along those lines, I think it might be helpful for our debate. Someone said, what does the Bible say? I'm not sure that's the way to say it. Rather, are there some things that the scriptures speak about? Are there things of the faith that speak to this issue that help us as Christians at least more gird the discussion with some foundations?
Frank, I think the one that comes up most frequently, I just happened to find it, Ephesians 5:21, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body is himself subject. Or it's a...
Doesn't it go on to say they're equal? The God part is good, I think.
As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish.
So often it was read without the last part, is what I heard some people reacting to quickly. And yet when you put the last part together, some of you are saying it seems that you're talking about a complete, total caring and loving for one another.
One more verse too, Frank. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He loves his wife, loves himself.
That implies equality. Yeah.
I think there can be some real sharing. All I've heard tonight, at least what I've heard, is the women and the men helping the woman. Well, the man works too. If the woman works and he helps her with the house and the meals and whatever, then I too have got to get out and help him repair that roof or mow the lawn or whatever else. It's a two-way street. It's not just helping me.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we're forgetting in all this that there are a lot of women who aren't even married and men who aren't married. And we're forgetting the whole equal rights issue in that problem of equality of persons. Has nothing to do, I mean, very little to do with how your marriage is working out. That's up to two individuals. If the man wants to go take care of the kids all the time, that's their problem, but not equal rights. And
okay.
I think we have to be fair to people who aren't married and
Thank
say
you.
That's the issue we're talking about.
Good, I think that's a good distinction. Could we also still talk about some faith? I think, thanks for clarifying that. But are there some faith resources, faith issues?
Well, the faith I was going to add is that everything we do is servanthood. And I think we need to take this look at everything we do is servanthood, not slave to. The marriage vow is that. It doesn't say we're slave to. We're all servants. I don't care whether you're married or not, but we're servants to one another in jobs, whether you're high or low in the totem pole. And okay. That servanthood is very important in understanding what we're to be to each other.
Okay, Larry, and then...
That falls in with two things I have heard the most from for or against. The men seem to be for equal rights, mostly because what I have heard said to me is, I feel if a woman does the same job I do, she deserves the same pay. The woman says, I want the same pay, however, I don't feel I want that job because I'm taking away from a man, from a family man.
Okay. And still the cultural thing.
Yes.
Larry?
No. Pass.
Okay. Yep.
Just playing the devil's advocate again on my point, doesn't it strike anybody as somewhat strange, though, that an amendment that seeks equal rights for people expects special treatment in terms of extension of time to pass?
How about in terms of the faith issues? I shouldn't be doing this, but what about the fact of how did God create? I mean, there seems to be an awful lot about the creation of people that are equal, and if nothing else, you got all the Pauline stuff about there should be no Jew, no Gentile, no Greek, no female, no male, which seems to speak ERA, doesn't it? Now, you probably got other stuff going the other way, but I just was thinking, we've got a couple minutes.
St. Paul sort of goes one way and then he goes another way.
So Paul isn't helpful. Sometimes he seems like women should be in second place, huh?
But I think he didn't like women too well.
You think he didn't like women too well, yeah.
Been in second place in the church for as long as I can ever remember.
The church isn't much help if you're going to fight for VRA. It's an example of the opposite, huh?
Right.
Jacob's ladder.
Who's climbing? Jacob?
As opposed to Sarah's circle.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of people are really afraid that homosexuals then too will be coming out of the closet and demanding,
their rights.
Larry's page in the creation series is very helpful on this woman-man issue, I think.
Amen. Okay, so another resource is the tape library. What's the title, Larry?
One on male and female, one on humanity.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Yeah, I think in the Old Testament, if you've ever heard of a person by the name of Walter Brueggemann from Eden Seminary, has done some good work in terms of the traditional models that we have of male and female sexual roles. He talks about the maleness of God and the femaleness of God in the Old Testament in terms of the way we traditionally understand male and female. And he's done some beautiful work about showing that God is not male or female, but there are strains in both ways in the traditions of the Old Testament. I think that would help a lot if people could begin to understand that.
Okay. I think also I would suggest that you take a look at the tapes last week from Joan?
Novak.
Because it was just very, very simple the way she took us through the culturalization process that ends up with a male society. And you've also got the tapes of Larry's last week talking about, in the Old Testament, your two societies, the patriarchal over against the one that was more equal and sharing and so forth. So there are... I would invite us, I heard one of the things in the debate was I heard a lot of vacuum around where the faith impacts on it, and I guess I would just simply say that too often I see that when we come together and talk, it's almost like the faith doesn't apply and the religious resources don't apply and we have no helps there, and I would beg that not be true. Those who would like to continue the debate where you're sitting or in your rooms or wherever you are, that's fine. We're going to close it off at this time in that it's 10 o'clock. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you at the next forum.